Good. All right. Why don't you go ahead and start? Because, yeah, I have like this jagged tooth and it's like cutting into my tongue, so it hurts to talk. So,
Okay, well, that's perfect for now.
yeah, so you go ahead.
Okay,
Pretend
here we
Weekend
go.
Recap Edition.
Yeah, whatever you want to. I'll call it my own
All
thing.
right.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Well, welcome back, everybody. Here we are on the Green Room. We call this our Big Ten Recap Weekend Edition. I probably did that wrong, and but
Close
it's
enough.
okay. It's okay, because Tony Paul is playing hurt today, and I can do whatever I please.
I'm still
Obviously,
here
this is
though.
Matt.
Still here.
Yes. So I'm Matt Charbonneau, obviously the MSU beat writer here for the Detroit News, joined by Tony Paul. He's our pseudo political writer,
Oh, I
angry old
wish.
man. Yeah.
I'm younger than you, pal. Younger than you.
Yeah, you can tell by the looks of you, Mr.
I
Gray Hair.
agree. I agree. I've had a rough life.
Well, you know, what can we say? And what can we say about what we've just witnessed over the weekend? Because of course it was exactly like every, let me say this. I did not predict Michigan State to beat Northwestern at all. In fact, I wasn't sure Michigan State could find the end zone. And there was somebody on this podcast who suggested perhaps Michigan State might have a chance. He didn't have any basis or any
None.
reason why, other than a
None.
hunch.
None.
But you
Just a
thought Michigan
feeling.
State
Just a feeling.
would at least be in the game.
Yeah, and
And there you
then
have it.
yeah, there was nothing behind it other than Northwestern's offense isn't fantastic, and Michigan State's defense, even though they've had a couple of rough ones this year, it is the bright spot of this team. And I don't know, I just felt like everyone was kind of sleeping on MSU again. They had a week off last week because of the COVID issues in Maryland, and I put it all together and I just thought, and I put it out there to the world and admitted I had no basis for feeling that way. And it happened. And
Well,
they
yeah.
and like I wrote on Twitter yesterday that Michigan State's tradition of ruining teams' college football playoff chances continues under the new coaching staff.
Yeah. And I look, it wasn't like they were playing. I'm not trying to knock Northwestern too much, but they're not Ohio State. They're not, you know, I would consider many wouldn't think they're a playoff favorite because, as you mentioned,
Right.
some of their shortcomings, they're not great offensively. They don't run the ball terribly well. Peyton Ramsey's been good at quarterback. They've got some playmakers on the edge, but not that'd be great. This is a team that's won because of their defense, which made what I saw Saturday even more surprising, that a team like Michigan State that hasn't run the ball at all
Finally did.
somehow
Finally
managed to
did.
run the ball, and they did it against a very, very good defense. And you know, it's like when you're trying to explain why they're not running. It's hard to you always want one reason. We want to blame the running backs. We want to blame the offensive line. Or like most things in football, it's usually all that kind of put together. And it was the same yesterday when they were successful. They actually did start to impose their will a little bit up front, which we haven't seen at all. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. You had running backs hitting the hole. Who that running back? I know this doesn't make Michigan State fans happy, but that running back happened to be Connor Hayward. Now, look, Jordan Simmons was out. We don't know whether it was injury or COVID. They don't tell us that anymore. And Elijah Collins got a little bit of work, but it was primarily Connor Hayward. And I guarantee you, if you would have looked at that stat sheet, say mid third quarter, and taken that and shown that to people last year and say, that's what you're going to see next year, people would have lost their minds. But I got to give Connor Hayward credit. That kid ran hard yesterday. He made a few good cuts. I mean, that's kind of what you wanted him. Now, I think they still need another guy, whether it ends up being Collins or Simmons, we'll see. But for that day, man, I'll tell you what, they ran the ball well. Rocky Lombardi didn't play great, but he hit a couple big plays, enough to keep that balance. That's the other thing we'll get into. I tweeted that yesterday, that Rocky Lombardi was starting. I can imagine how MSU fans feel. That was at the start of the game.
That was surprising, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little weird because you don't want to trash the guy because he made a couple good plays, but it's not like they won because of him, but he didn't play terrible. So you're sitting there.
He played good enough to get them the 17-0 lead.
Well,
And
yeah.
then he kind of managed, to not blow it.
He tried. I mean, the interception late really, really, I mean, they're down three. They just go down three, and he throws that awful intercept. I mean, Jaden Reed was never open on the play.
That was a bad one, and they got it right back. And
Well, they get the break, you've been getting it right back.
yeah,
And
right,
that's so we kind of forget that interception a little
right.
bit.
No, we do, and and then I kind of bitched about Michigan State going ultra conservative late in the game, when
Yeah.
when you're Michigan State, you're you're what, 1-3, and you know, I mean, you got a chance to be a very good good Northwestern team, and they got a little conservative probably because of what they had seen out of Lombardi, but there was a lot to like. You know, I mean, we don't need to rehash every little thing, but I mean, if you just want to tell me what stood out the most to you.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it funny that winning kind of, as we've said this cliche for years, winning kind of cures everything. You know, like in basketball, shots going in cures a lot of things. Winning does, because there's, you mentioned the conservative play. There was one point, I think it was after they had tied it, and they, you know, they played a little conservative and had to kick a long field goal. I said in the press box, why are you afraid to go win the game?
Exactly. That's the part I felt like, you know, you got nothing to lose here.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if you lose this game, but go try to win it. And they got conservative, and, you know, Matt Coughlin, we've seen over the years, has been a little bit of a, he's been very good, and he's been not great. And that winning field goal was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. But yeah, it went in.
I'm not sure what pulled that ball back, but
it went in. But that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, I'm not saying bomb it down the field for Hail Marys, but at least get Coughlin to comfortable range, and they never really did that. And he ended up winning the game for him. Like I said, it was an ugly knuckleball that somehow found the uprights. But
yeah,
so two wins for Michigan State, both top 15 AP wins at the time.
That first AP top 15 doesn't look so legit.
No, it doesn't. This one was good. And, you know, he's kept the fan base engaged and entertained. And I think that's a big step in the first season when, again, you don't have a lot to work with. And you know, I mean, Michigan State fans are they're at full attention right now.
Yeah.
This could be down the road.
And I mentioned that about the winning too, because there were some legitimate questions. There is a legitimate question to say, why did Rocky Lombardi start? I think that's a fair question. There's, you know, we've seen the personnel issues. We got to wonder about some of the play calling. We can nitpick some of that, but you know, you win. And defensively, again, they continue to play pretty doggone well defensively. You know, not perfect. They'll give up some plays here and there. They did get a lot of their defensive backs back yesterday. Kalen Gervin, Trey Person, Chris Jackson were all back. But Shakur Brown, I feel like we've kind of overlooked Shakur Brown this year a little bit. Yeah. I mean, two more interceptions yesterday. He's got five. And they're both big plays. The first one sets up a field goal early in the game. And, of course, the last one sets up the winning field goal. The guy has played really, really well early in his career. He had a few injury problems, a few D'Antonio and he butting heads problems. But the guy's a heck of a player. And, you know, this play, being on a 2-3 team, I think it's people aren't paying a lot of attention to, but he's having an all-conference type year, and he showed it again yesterday. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Obviously, the big hit on his one interception was a pretty scary moment in the game.
Yeah.
The Northwestern kid went down. He was apparently alert. He was apparently alert and everything when he was going to the hospital. Was there any update on him? That was pretty scary at the time, especially – when Pat Fitzgerald pulled the whole team together and they all bowed their heads in prayer. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of – and if you when you watch the replay, it's not like they hit helmet to helmet. It was almost his helmet. Just
his head kind of snapped, and I think
– yeah, and it might have hit on the ground too.
It did hit on the ground, and I think – that was the issue. I haven't seen it lately, but
last night they said Northwestern had said that things looked good in the hospital. They were just keeping him for a little bit, and they were hoping he was going to be able to come back last night. Yeah, so I haven't seen anything this morning on Sunday to see if he's back. But it looks like he got lucky and dodged anything back. Because there was one point he first went down and he rolled over and then he didn't move. And so a lot of the, you know, there was trainers out for both teams were out there, and you're thinking, okay, they're checking on him. And all of a sudden, the couple paramedics came running with like the board and some equipment. And like for a second, everyone started moving really fast. And you're like, whoa, what the hell's happening here? And it seemed to calm down. And luckily, looks like it did. And, you know, he raised his hand when he left. So it was, it was scary for a minute there. But looks like he made it out of it. It'll be all right. So
such a violent. By that sport, you wonder why parents sometimes struggle to let their kids play football. And there's one example right there. I mean, it's just there's so many hits in the game that you're amazed that these guys bounce right back up. And that one That one was pretty frightening. Anything else? I mean, anything else? We want to get to a few different things here today. I know you got, you're short on time. I'm in pain, so we got to keep this as somewhat as brief as possible.
It was, I mean,
anything else stand out?
I mean, we, you know, I think we've hit the highlights. Pretty impressive offensive line play. You know, they ran the ball well. The key, of course, with everything is, can you continue to do this? And of course, their next scheduled game happens to be against Ohio State, and we all know that Ohio State didn't play because of their COVID numbers. That happened late Friday night. So, you know, if you're going by what we've seen so far in the Big Ten, that would tell you Saturday's game is not looking good.
No.
But, you know, we don't know who tested positive, when, who knows at this point. And it's Ohio State, so I got to imagine they're going to do everything they can and push it to the last minute to play this game. So the key for Michigan State is, if you play it, can you continue this? I think this, to think to be able to continue what we saw Saturday against Ohio State is a tough ask. But you, as we've said, this season isn't about necessarily winning a certain amount of games. If you continue to see at least some progress from that, and you see, you know, you're not going to run for 200 yards, but do you still run the ball, you know, okay? Do you not revert back to 50 yards and, you know, on a yard of carry? I think that's important. So, you know, those are the things. Otherwise, we're just going to wait this week out. I think it's going to be a late, I mean, we're going to wait it out. We're not going to get an announcement Monday. This thing's going to be like Thursday or Friday, maybe late Friday before we find out whether or not they're playing.
Ohio State was saying, their athletic director, Gene Smith, said they could have played this game yesterday. So that suggests that as a team, they weren't quite over the threshold. I think they were over the threshold on this quote unquote community, which includes coaches and support staff and everything, but under the threshold on the players. So if you have to be over on both to absolutely cancel the game, they decided to play it safe. And it makes sense because they're looking down the road. They don't want to, you know, play a game, do everything, you know, and then have a worse COVID situation down the road when, you know, the Big Ten championship game's happening, when the college football playoff's happening. So they, you know, they might have taken some caution here. But as we've seen from the Big Ten, when a team cancels because of COVID, they also cancel the next week's game, which happened with Wisconsin and happened with Maryland. It'll probably almost certainly happen with Minnesota, who has like a bazillion cases of COVID working. But it's, you know, it's a big game for Ohio State because, you know, theoretically and probably if they don't play this next game, they're not going to be eligible for the Big Ten championship game, which right now is looking like it could be Northwestern and Indiana, like we all predicted.
Sure.
But Ohio State would obviously still be eligible, and I think a very strong candidate for the playoff, even if they don't play the Big Ten championship game. It's been a weird year, but we all know Ohio State's very talented, and I'm sure would get consideration anyway. So I'm betting that game does not happen with Michigan State, but that's just me. We'll see how things play out. Just to run down Michigan, MSU wins 29-20 over Northwestern. Penn State gets on the board with a win. Penn State 27, Michigan 17. I was telling you this yesterday. I found this very strange. But if you do the math, I guess it adds up that Joe Paterno and Bo Chebec are never coached against each other. I thought that was so strange. I just would never have assumed that. But, again, Bo retired in 89, and Penn State didn't really start playing Big Ten games till 93. So I guess it makes sense. But I found that interesting. Iowa wins 26-20. They're quietly having a pretty good season.
Yeah,
Indiana 27-11 over Maryland. Rutgers beats Purdue 37-30. And again, as we said, Ohio State and Illinois were canceled. Minnesota, Wisconsin canceled. And the end is just really quick. I mean, the end has to be near for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, this they're going to find a way to put an end to this, you know, the mutual parting, I would think. I mean, you haven't beaten anybody basically in 6 years.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, and they're putting that graphic up during the game. It's like you haven't beaten Ohio State at all. You're 500 against Michigan State. What was it, 2-whatever against?
500 against some pretty bad Michigan State teams in the grand scheme of things.
It, basically, what the chart showed was you haven't won any games of significance at all, and that's not why he's here. And, look, there's potentially going to be a handful of NFL openings that could be pretty attractive.
Well, we know one.
Well, we know one, but I mean, I think it's not going to be limited to the Lions. I mean, I think there's going to be a handful and a lot of them with good young quarterbacks that he doesn't have to sit there and figure out who's going to be my quarterback. Right. So I think there's going to be some attractive options for him there that I think is going to make this whole mutual parting a little more likely and make it a little easier for both sides to make happen. Cause you're right.
The funny thing is he would be a decent candidate for the Lions job, but I just don't think it would be accepted by the fan base because it's just too close to the home of what we've seen for the last 6 years. So I imagine he goes elsewhere, but I think it's time. I think everyone realizes it's time. Yeah, it didn't work. I mean, you haven't beaten anybody in 6 years. I mean, that's not Michigan football. At least it shouldn't be Michigan football.
And he hasn't been Rich Rod, obviously. They win games. It's that's not why he was here. He wasn't here to win 9 games. You know, he was here to win championships, and that's what Michigan demands. Look, there's a lot of places that would be ecstatic with what he's done, but that's not the demand at Michigan. So, you know, and he was the guy that was supposed to do it. And now he's rubbing, you know, it's the whole thing with Harbaugh. I'll be surprised if this thing continues.
The only thing is
trying to get out of that contract in a time when, you know, athletic departments are hurting. I mean, that's going to be tough to find a way. You're going to end up paying the last year of his contract at, what is he, like $8 million now? You know, yeah. And pay another guy as well. It's hard to pay the salaries straight up, let alone coaching.
But if Harbaugh wants out too, and there's a chance he does, I mean, then you find a way. And Michigan's got resources. I mean,
I know, but
other schools it wouldn't be very ideal. But Michigan's got the resources that if they want to, they will. And
if you find a donor that if they want to fire him, I guess
they won't. Again, I think it'll be a mutual thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of respect on both sides, I think, and they're not going to fire him. But if he decides it's time, he wants to go back to the NFL. You know, he's never been on a job really this long. I mean, he tends to kind of move around. Anyway, so if he wants to get to the NFL, you know, they can find a way to make it happen. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Michigan State next week is hosting Ohio State again. We don't know. I still don't think that'll happen. And then Maryland will be at Michigan. Not really a game of interest. A couple of interesting games. Indiana's going to play at Wisconsin. Northwestern is scheduled to play at Minnesota, but again, I don't think that's going to happen either. That's about it next week. So really just the 3 games, 2 involving Michigan, Michigan State, and then Indiana, Wisconsin. If the Michigan State game happens, they might pull the plug on that pretty early if their numbers spike early in the week. So
which one's that?
Ohio State, Michigan State.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that was going to push to the last second and,
but if they find some more cases early in the week and hit that threshold, I mean, you know, you can't really get under it. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't want to get into all the conspiracy theories and all that, but we are talking about Ohio State. We're not talking about, you know, an Illinois game. So it's
right.
And this is the Big Ten's team. You know, this is the team that's, if they're going to have a team in the playoff, this is it.
Well, it was always that case too. And I say, I say that Michigan State continued their tradition of ruining teams' college football playoff hopes. Even if Northwestern ran the table, I mean, it didn't guarantee they were going to get in. I mean, it's still Northwestern. I don't think the nation was enamored with them.
No.
But technically, Michigan State did ruin it for them.
Well, if they really wanted to.
They certainly don't have a chance now.
Well, I'm saying if they really want to ruin a team's run, it would be this one.
Yeah, and we've seen it before. And,
yeah.
The numbers show that when teams cancel once, they cancel again. If you have a significant number of cases, the thing spreads. So we'll see. Really quickly, we'll touch on basketball. Big Ten's off to a great start, 22-2. On Wednesday, the first day of the season, the Big Ten AP Top 25 teams were 7-0, which was historic. That really never happened before on a single day. But Michigan State's up to a good start. Really impressive yesterday. Score is probably a little bit closer than what it actually was. Michigan State 80, Notre Dame 70. But Michigan State, I mean, just ran them out of the building at the end of the first half and beginning of the second half. Lots to like there, particularly defensively.
Yeah. Team. And I, you know, and that's kind of, I think, what they're going to have to hang their hat on this year. Cause not that they can't be a good offensive team. I just think, especially early, it's going to be, they're going to be some nights where it's a little up and down. Cause they're still, look, they're still figuring out this rotation, who fits where, who plays more minutes at what spot. You know, the whole Rocket Watts, Foster Lawyer at point guard, how, you know, I think that's going to be an ongoing thing of, you know, how much do they play together? So it'll be interesting. I think, you know, you're seeing Joey Hauser kind of find himself a little bit still. Same with Josh Langford, the two guys that were out for a long time, obviously for different reasons. But I think if they play defensively like they did against Notre Dame, that's gonna kind of get them through some of these offensive, you know, ups and downs as they figure it out. It was an interesting week because, look, they played Eastern that plays that goofy 2-3 zone. So what do you really learn out of that? You learn that Foster Lawyer is a good shooter. Well, we already knew that. The key was, can he defend guys? Can he defend Big Ten point guards? Can he run it against a guy playing in your face man-to-man? We'll still figure that out. You know, he obviously didn't score like he did in the first game against Notre Dame, but didn't need to either. So, you know, I think I was impressed by the Notre Dame win. Notre Dame may not be a great team, but they're probably middle-of-the-pack ACC team. They got some players. So it's, you know, that was start a little slow, but that 26-0 run shows you what this Michigan State team's capable of. I think you're going to see that in flashes. Now, do they have that Tuesday night against Duke? We'll see. Of course, we haven't seen Duke play either. So
Duke is just about ready to get going here.
So it'll be – I think it's a good start, clearly. A lot of good things. I like the way Marcus Bingham has played. A kid that I hadn't been sold on at all, has played really well, played tough and physical. You know, it's good – like I said, good to see Langford out there. Aaron Henry, I think, is going to be – he's looking like, the guy that we're thinking he could be. At that first game, he didn't do much. He didn't have to, but he still had 7 assists, I think 7 or 8 rebounds. And then, of course, the goal was to get him the ball against Notre Dame. And he scored. He's a really good player, and I think he's got a good chance to be an All-Big Ten type player. So a lot of positive signs through two games for them, but I think we'll really get an idea Tuesday night at Duke. I know it's not going to be different. No fans there. In fact, no media there either. So
really? Listen,
yeah, it's the only place that I know of that's saying nothing. So, So I was looking forward to going to a game there without fans leaning up against
right, my back yeah.
while I'm trying to work.
Cameron crazies tend to get in the way with the
yeah. So it'll be.
They're so close. They could type the story for you.
They could. They've corrected our grammar at times.
I'm sure they have.
And they go to Duke, so they're probably smart enough. But yeah, so it'll be. I'm sure it'll be weird there, seeing a game there with no fans. I mean, what, jeez. But, that'll be a real good early measuring stick for this team, see where they're at early on. But, you know, at this point, hey, as long as you keep playing games, I think every game they play feels like.
It's a victory. It's a victory every time you play a game.
The Eastern Michigan game could have been canceled.
Yeah, that game could have been off. Eastern had some contract chasing issues, so.
Yeah.
And then Central's had a game canceled. Western's had a game canceled. Detroit Mercy had a whole weekend at Kentucky canceled. I think it'll hit everyone at some point. So yeah, every time you play, it's just a little victory. Did Mike Bray go down the road and try to get a game with Lansing Community College?
Yeah, he's out on Twitter begging for games.
I was looking. He's looking December 4th, 5th. I mean, Detroit Mercy's at Michigan State, I think, on the 4th.
Yep.
Detroit Mercy should just keep going down to South Bend and play that game, since they lost. Detroit Mercy lost two good games against Kentucky and Richmond.
At the beginning of the season.
So
they should have just made it. Should have just added one more of this little alleged MTE.
Yeah.
Including Notre Dame and Western, since MSU's got a busy week. They get Detroit and Western Michigan this weekend. So.
Yeah.
That's Duke Tuesday, Detroit Friday, Western Michigan Sunday.
Yeah,
might as well get them in, right? You never know when it's gonna stop. So
Detroit Mercy will be interesting. They got the Antoine Davis again, and they get some more pieces. So that'll be an interesting game at Michigan State. And then Western gave Butler all they could handle in the opening game. Almost broke their million game, you know, home winning streak against non conference opponents. So that'll do what Michigan State faces this week. Michigan off to who the hell did they beat? I don't even remember.
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, a good team in the MAC, and they handled them pretty easily. U of M's got Oakland today. Oakland loses their first game by 54 points, or 52. Their second game by 27, and their third by 13. So they're getting closer, but I don't think they're going to cut the deficit in half against Michigan today. We're taping this obviously on Sunday. So that's it. One other MSU note: MSU hockey beat number 10 Ohio State 3-2 last night. MSU hockey's off to a 2-0-1 start. You know, Danton Cole's trying to turn that program around. So
I think there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of positives coming out of that program too. I think it's maybe I'm not saying they win the Big Ten, but
no, but some depth this year, and they've got their recruiting pieces in place. I mean, finally, because I think this is Cole's third or fourth year, so
and it takes a little bit longer, and it takes a little bit longer in hockey with the recruiting, but it's I think you're starting to see it. Maybe that arena hopefully will get finished within this season. And obviously,
I think it's going to be after the season, actually.
But, yeah, but that'll help the recruiting as well because it's going to be really nice there. So I think people should be encouraged what they're seeing there as well.
Absolutely. That's about it. You got to go. I know you got some softball duties with your daughter today, but check out Matt's recap stuff. Recap look at the Northwestern win. And his look ahead this week to a potential game against Ohio State. But again, not optimistic. But I'm not optimistic about anything.
Yeah, if anyone has any clue on the Big Ten rankings, again, every week I do these and I'm like, whatever. Ohio State, and then I don't know. It's,
yeah, exactly.
What a hodgepodge.
I still like Indiana. But, you know. But anyway, he's got Big Ten rankings. They'll be posted on DetroitNews.com later today. Along with all of his stuff and Angelique's stuff for U of M. So check all that out. Follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau. You can follow me at TonyPaul1984. Now that the election's over, much calmer on Twitter. So come join the party. Yeah. That's it for this week's episode of the Green Room Weekend Recap Edition. We'll be back next week. Matthew, thank you.
See you later. All right, good deal. Out of here.